everyone, and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, your host today, with an interesting, fun, and important topic, and one where we need your help. The Anchorage Economic Development Corporation has set an ambitious goal. They want Anchorage to be the best city in America to work, live, and play by 2025. Sounds great. Who would disagree with that? The problem is, what does it mean? How do you define the best? And what are the qualities that you'd want to see listed if you were to come up with a set of criteria that would compare us to other towns? Well, that's the challenge we put for ourselves today, is to get you on the line and find out what you think are the best qualities of Anchorage, the things you'd most like to enhance. And on the flip side, what are the biggest problems, the things that would make you want to leave Anchorage or not come here, and what do we do about those? Big topic for an hour, but critical to get your advice and your thoughts. And I have two guests in the studio to talk about that. Bill Popp is the CEO and president of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Bill, thanks for being here.
It's good to be here.
And Mike Prozoralek is chairman of AEDC's Work, Live, Play Committee and an architect with KPB Architects.
Thank you, Charles.
And let me make sure that folks know how to get in on our discussion. The local phone number here at KSKA is 550-8433. If you're outside of the Anchorage area, you reach us at 888-353-5752. And we take emails, and if you're working, sometimes that's the best way to do it, at hometownalaska@kska.org. And I read those on the air for our guests and for the listeners. And good idea to tee up and get in on it. We often seem to have people calling in the last 5 minutes, and generally we get everybody on the air if they don't do that. And So we're gonna talk about our topic, and then we're gonna also let you know how you can do a survey with AEDC, so you can get your comments into them, into their process. But to start with, I wanted to talk to you, Mike, about how you developed this idea. This is a big idea, a big challenge. Where did it come from?
It actually came from a strategic planning meeting that we had early in 2010. I think the need for the strategic planning meeting actually stemmed from some conversations with the AEDC staff. They're a very ambitious group and very motivated young professionals, and they were asking questions about AEDC, where we wanted to go. I think trying to figure out how they could best support the needs of the board. And once we got the strategic planning session set up, a lot of things started to come to light about what AEDC's role was within the community and what economic development actually meant and how you made it happen. Bill Dan, the CEO of Professional Growth Systems, was our facilitator, and he took us really at a high level and started looking at what businesses need within a community to make them viable. Current businesses that were already here, and what would also attract new businesses. We started talking around the table about why each of us were actually here in Alaska. What brought us here?
You personally.
Yes. What brought us here? What types of things kept us here? For me, the outdoors, fishing, recreation, quality of life, in addition to the quality of my work.
Mm-hmm.
Other members had a lot, you know, different stories. A lot of people, you know, said, well, I'd come up here for 3 years expecting to leave, but they've been here for 20, 30 years. So obviously there were things within our community that were keeping everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
As we started to write down all of those key components, we started to see things come together under three specific categories: live, work, and play.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on and the discussion went on, I think we saw the big picture of what attracts businesses to a community, and that's the quality of life, the workforce, that's a common thread for any business, is mm-hmm. their employees. So how do you keep your employees happy besides just at the job?
Right, right. You know,
people no longer work to live. Or actually, they do now work to live. It's no longer live to work.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, the whole attitude has changed pretty drastically.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about that, Bill Popp. You're the president and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corp. And I think when people think of economic development, they think, well, we need more industrial property. We need, you know, utility rates. We need, you know, all this hard stuff. And you're talking about some of the stuff that people might think is like the softer, the extras or something, but you don't feel that they're extras, these quality of life issues.
Absolutely not. They're a key piece to attracting new investment into our community from outside of Alaska, as well as keeping what we have. You see this trend in other industries across the country, other states across the country, where you have large metropolitan areas like Los Angeles or Houston or some of these other major city centers, Chicago. And you see a trend growing that's been developing for well over a decade now of businesses leaving these larger metropolitan areas because their employees are not happy with the fact that they have to take an hour to get home from work or to get to work through the rush hour, where they're unhappy with the fact that, you know, the schools are challenging. They're not happy with the fact that, you know, it's kind of a dirty town or any number of things that just all combine to make that workforce unhappy. Mm-hmm. And then they lose those high quality employees. And a lost employee is a lost investment from a business point of view. So they look very carefully at where they can attract or find a quality workforce that's going to be able to facilitate their business. You know, the business opportunity itself is either going to be there or not. But is that opportunity situated in a location where a business wants to be because of these other factors? You know, they and this is part of a national trend that we think has become first and foremost in our opportunities to attract new investment.
I see. Hey, I've got a caller who wants to weigh in. David, did you have a comment or a question?
Hey, Charles. Yeah, I just wanted to say I spent much of the winter traveling in Mexico and went to a lot of provincial capital cities. And I'll tell you, there's a big difference in the way they look based on whether or not their utilities are buried, their sidewalks are wide. And it makes a huge difference for visitors as well as for the people that live there. And the transportation infrastructure is also very important. So a couple of these things are being addressed in Anchorage. The highway to highway project is something that really needs to move forward, and I don't think we have a chance of being one of the best places to live unless we have a transportation corridor through the city that's complete. And the other thing, in town, there's a big difference driving down Northern Lights compared to, say, Denali between Tudor and Northern Lights. And the big difference is that the utilities are buried. And at one point, I think the assembly passed an ordinance to get a certain percentage of utility lines buried each year. And I'm wondering if either of your guests there can comment on what the status of that is at this point. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, thanks for calling, David. And I know a little bit about that. There was an ordinance that was passed years ago that requires the utilities to put aside a very small percentage of their revenues to underground utility lines. And there's laws about new utility lines going underground in certain circumstances. A lot of our overhead utility lines are high voltage and are very expensive to put underground, and I think those may be exempted. And maybe that's something by 2025 we want to deal with, is find a way to... Is that the kind of thing you're thinking about, Bill?
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we aren't trying to predetermine what this vision looks like at this point in time. You know, when you look at the statement by 2025, Anchorage is the number one city in America to live, work, and play, that's a big, hairy, audacious goal. That is not a small task. But, you know, we didn't want to come at this from a top-down perspective where we, AEDC, and our members have all the answers and this is the way it should be and just follow along and there you go. We're embarked on a process that is engaging the community in this dialogue, and a lot of this discussion has already taken place. What we're trying to do is trying to bring it to a self-described aspirational narrative. You know, what do we aspire to be as a community? Mm-hmm. We don't want to apply an outside model to Anchorage first and foremost. We're not going to be the next Silicon Valley. We're not mm-hmm. going to be the next Research Triangle. We're not going to be the next big industrial center. We're going to be what we're good at. And we need the community's input to help us describe what we're good at, where we come up short, and what it is that we aspire to be in the next 15 years that we can work to try and achieve.
It's a really, really interesting process. And I'm thinking of all kinds of things I'd like to say, but we've got lots of callers. So I want to go down to Eric, who I know by his first name and his topic is my dad. We were talking about this last night, and he had something he wanted to say, and I said, well, call in. So thanks for being on the air, Dad.
I'm glad to be on the air, Charles. And you know, as we talked about last night, Anchorage is, in many ways, a very attractive city, the mountains being the great feature, and many parts of the city look well. But we made a big mistaken step backwards some years ago when we decided that we'd relax the sign ordinance and allow bigger signs. Now we have a number of our main avenues, Northern Lights, Benson, Muldoon, Diamond, huge, ugly signs, ugly by me. You know, Winston Churchill said, architect makes the person. I think your surroundings are really important, and I'd like to see those signs go and be replaced by something that people can see but not overwhelm them by 2025. I think the aesthetic aspect of a city is really important, and I think it's important for people who visit who may want to come here for business or pleasure.
Great comment. Let me turn to Mike Przeralek. You're an architect, and you are very much focused on the aesthetics and the built environment. We've had our first two calls now are about how Anchorage looks. I think traditionally people have thought, well, the built environment in Anchorage is not that great, at least in a lot of our commercial strips. How do we address that as a community when we are also a place where people want to do what they want to do, right? We have a big sort of sense of it's my land, I'll do what I want. And I know you must have thought about this as an architect.
Well, you know, Title 21 and the rewrite is going to, I think, play a big part in making change.
And that's the zoning code.
Right. The other thing is Anchorage really is a very young city, you know. And I think we've got a lot of opportunities to look at other communities across the nation that have gone through these types of change and growing pains and those kinds of things. And there are some significant changes that are being made now. People are really starting to pay attention, businesses, about the types of facilities that they're building and how they're doing it. Housing is, you know, a big issue, and, you know, looking at ways to increase density, bring more viable businesses back to the downtown area. I think there's a lot of growth potential and opportunity that through certain means and measures, Title 21, tax increment financing, I mean, a number of different things that can help promote good sensitive design.
Mm-hmm. As an architect, do you see Anchorage developing as a community that has a look, or that they have a, like, the sort of the Anchorage architecture or the Anchorage feel to the city? I mean, or is that too young to have developed yet?
Not quite sure. I mean, a lot of my competitors, you know, the firms that are out there, have different styles. We try to look when we're working with a client at that client's culture and design something that's sensitive to them, that has significance and meaning to their organization, and not necessarily look to try to match what's being done in other areas for other companies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd like to go now to Stu, who's calling from Eagle River. And what's your comment, Stu?
Bike trails. Big part of living out here, and I can't help but to think that if they put a bike trail along the military-civilian boundary north-south east of Muldoon, that would connect the Glen Highway Trail with the Campbell Creek Trail system. It would really integrate the whole bike trail system. It enable you to go basically all the way around town with only crossing two streets.
You know, this has got to be one of the first things people mention. I know when I first heard about this project, the first thing I thought about was, well, I can ski from my house. I couldn't do that probably in any other city this size in America. That's got to be one of our big assets. Bill, have you heard a lot about that?
The outdoor recreation opportunities are one of our biggest assets. And it's amazing how many companies that we've talked to over time have been just amazed at the opportunities that the community offers to recreate in all sorts of different ways year-round. They, you know, the outside perspective of Alaska is often somewhat stunted, if I could say that politely. They view us as cold and dark, without a lot of, you know, societal opportunities, the cultural opportunities, the recreational opportunities. You know, they understand that you can hunt and fish, but they don't realize, you know, the amazing infrastructure that we have available for skiing, for cross country, for downhill, for bike trails, for, you know, things in the cultural realm of opera, theater, the incredible arts and music scene that we have in a town of our size, and then the amazing diversity of ethnicity that we have in our community with the global population that we have here. We are truly a crossroads of the world in that sense. You know, I want to touch on, you know, how we're going on, going about this process. We have this big mission, so we've commissioned a committee as an organization to start to try and develop these self-described aspirational narratives that will describe what it is that we're trying to achieve. Mike has, Mr. Prozorelic here, has agreed to be the chair of that overall committee. And then we have three subcommittees, one for live, one for work, and one for play. And how we're driving community input on this, these committees are made up of members of the community from many different groups, and their job is to go out and engage their compatriots in their different disciplines to get input from as many different organizations as we can get, but to also engage the public at large in helping us to develop this narrative. And we're doing that through a survey that you mentioned at the beginning of the show. And that survey is a five-question survey. Three of those questions are click-the-button demographic questions. Age, gender, and I believe zip code is the choices that you have to just help us profile where you're from and who, you know, what perspective you're coming from. But then we have two open-ended questions with no limit on the size of the answer. Why do you live here? Why would you leave? Very simple questions, but very profound potential answers. And the survey has already been out on the street for a few weeks now on a soft rollout, and we have hundreds of responses just in the small limited release we've done in notifying through a couple of our sister organizations, you know, and members, you know, that this survey is out there.
After today's show, you'll probably have a lot more.
We're hoping so. We, at this point, we're going to be running the survey, I believe, through the end of June. It's going to be an ongoing process because we're going to turn over every corner of the city that we can to try and find people who are willing to participate so that we can feed all of these answers into these committees so that we can start looking for themes that come out of the surveys on our strengths and on our weaknesses and what we aspire to be.
Well, let me turn back to our caller for a minute. Stu, if you're still on the line.
Yep.
When we start talking about like the big, really big picture, why you would move to Anchorage and what would keep you here, would you say that the trails would rank on that list?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I live on the east side of Muldoon Road, and in order to access the bike trails, I have to get out right on the Muldoon Road and ride the sidewalk, basically, to either get to the Glen Highway or get towards the Campbell Creek Trail. And it's deadly, you know. If we could just go east, if the military could give us 10 feet to put a trail in along the fence there, then I could just get on that trail, it'd be uninterrupted. I could go right to the Glen Highway or right to, you know, through the dog sled area there and tie in with that trail on Tudor.
Yeah, I hear you. It's kind of you're pointing to a strength and a weakness, which is we have these great trails, but we also have a car-oriented structure in town that sometimes is limiting. So thanks for your call, Stu.
One other question, if you could,
real quick,
gentlemen, to explain where they're funded from.
Oh, sure. We were going to get into that later, but we can take that now.
Sure. That's an easy one. We get 75% of our funding through the private sector. Memberships are some program revenue and some event revenue and sponsorships. The remaining 25% comes from government funding. About 5% of that is from a state grant. We're the Alaska Regional Development Organization for Anchorage. And then the remaining 20% comes from the municipality.
All right.
We're a creation of the municipality from 1987 is when we were originally launched. And then in 1989, we were spun off as a private nonprofit 501c6 membership organization.
Well, somebody brought up the sign ordinance, and that's been through the community council system. And the community councils were dead set against the big signs, but the assembly, you know, they have their ways of getting things done. And if you guys are funded by the businesses, I don't think anything's going to happen with the signs.
Well, I don't want to get sidetracked on that particular issue, but I'll let Bill answer that in a minute. But right now I want to go to Becky, who has been waiting patiently to be on the line. Becky?
Hi. One of the things that I brag about here is our weather. Yeah, we get a lot of snow, but the city knows how to deal with it, and we don't have tornadoes, we don't have hurricanes, we don't have the flooding they're undergoing in the Midwest, and we, some dry summers we do have some fire dangers, but not here in Anchorage.
Yeah, that's a good point, and people would not maybe think Mike Prozorelic about weather as being a plus, but I always do. I think, you know, it's gorgeous here. It's not too hot in the winter. We've got enough snow to get out and do winter sports.
Yeah, where I grew up in upstate New York, this is how I remember my childhood winters. Mm-hmm. We used to get snow, and we had four seasons. And when I first came here 20 years ago, you know, it was one of the significant things that brought me back to be here. And there's just so many opportunities with winter activities. You can't go wrong.
Not something we can exactly improve upon, but I guess we could use it as a selling point. Well, thanks very much for calling, Becky.
Sure.
So if you'd like to weigh in, you can call us here. Our topic is best qualities to live, work, and play in Anchorage. Anchorage Economic Development Corporation is developing some goals to work towards by 2025, which would make us the best in the nation. Huge goal, but the first step is to figure out, as we've talked about in the last half hour, what are the best qualities in Anchorage? What are the things we could build upon that would get us there? And there's numerous ways to weigh in. One I hope folks would do today, which we have been doing, is to call 550-8433, come on the air with us, and just say your piece. And if you're out of the Anchorage area, you can call at 888-353-5752. We're on the air live at the 2 o'clock hour, so if you're listening at 7, it's a repeat, you shouldn't call. And you can also weigh in by email at hometownalaska@kska.org. I've got a computer here, and I just read those on the air. Now, I also want to add that if you go to kska.org, you'll find links to the Anchorage Economic Development Corp and to the survey we've been discussing. So you can go online and let the folks who are doing this project know what your opinions are, and that is going to feed into their overall process and the answers that they come up with. Now, Bill, one of the callers raised this question, which I think probably deserves to hear your thoughts about. Well, you're a business organization. Aren't your goals going to be different from, say, a community council organization or someone else? Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm not sure the answer to that, but how do you respond to that concern?
Well, first of all, we have handed off this process of developing this aspirational narrative to these subcommittees, which are made up of members of the community from many different sectors that are not necessarily the business community. And we are going to great lengths not to influence the narratives that come out of those subcommittees. I go to the first meeting, I've gone to the first meeting of each of the subcommittees to, first of all, thank them for giving up so much of their time between now and August when we are targeting to have this narrative done, but also to give them the background on where this came from, and then to find out if there's any initial questions, and then to step back and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't attend any of the other meetings. Our staff attends now to provide support in the form of taking notes and minutes. We have very generous contributions by local facilitators who have agreed pro bono to facilitate these committee meetings so that they can go through their own process of developing the narrative based on the grassroots public input. the outcome is not predetermined, and it is not necessarily business-oriented in the sense that maybe the caller wanted to invoke.
Mm-hmm.
Our gigantic staff of six, and I say that obviously mm-hmm. with a smile on my face, is not going to accomplish this goal, this vision all by itself.
Mm-hmm. And the vision only works if everybody accepts it, or at least most people accept it. So, right. And because you don't have any power, it's not like you're imposing this on anyone. It's only if people accept it that it makes any sense, right?
I do not have the magic wand. I do not have the easy button. I don't have any of those special powers granted to some individuals somewhere. Right. I haven't met them yet. To make these things happen on their own. This is a community process. This is a process that it is designed specifically not to come at it from a top-down perspective. Mm-hmm. Again, I want to reinforce that. It's not us pontificating on what is good for everybody. It's everybody coming together as much as we can gather them in over the next couple of months to make their contributions to this, to where we can find the commonalities that we all agree on that we can aspire to.
Great. Well, we've got a lot of callers who want to get involved, and so we're going to go through them relatively rapidly. And first, I'd like to hear from Jean. Jean, did you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Jean Creation. I'm a research company
Hi, Jean.
In town. And hi, how are you doing, Charles? We've actually studied this for about 20 years. I remember in the early days, it was called Anchorage Lifestyle Research. And we actually, in those early days, asked people, why did you come? And the primary reason, and the one that keeps in informal studies we've done for the last humanities forums and other groups, the reason people come here are for work opportunity and to make more money. That has not changed in 20 years of studying that topic.
All right. Well, I guess that's part of the work thing. If you don't have a job, you probably don't enjoy being here very much.
Right, and that was the point that I wanted to make is, you know, when you start talking about what keeps you here, I think you do get into the recreational realities that we are tops in recreational activities. But if you really want to draw people here, or you want to make us, you know, are we drawing them here or are we making this a place to live? I think we have to look at both those sides of the equation to actually get, you know, put in some of those magazines. We actually showed up somewhere recently in a top city, and it had a lot of environmental factors that were related to it, and a lot of it had to do with the outside activity elements. But we do get rated as a good place to live in some of these groups that do that. So I would suggest that the committees look at the history of research that we've already done on this topic, look to those kind of groups that are nationally tracking this kind of information so that they can see and hear what are the factors that they evaluate us on. So those are the things we're paying attention to.
Great, Jean. Thanks. Bill, we do want to certainly have jobs when people mm-hmm. get here. That's the ultimate goal. But we're really talking about getting businesses to come here rather than individuals, right? Or maybe you can answer that.
That's correct. It is more about the business, from our point of view, attracting new business to the community. And We're looking at this from a model that we are emulating, and that is the model in North Dakota. We mm-hmm. were privileged to have Joel Kotkin as our speaker at one of our events last year. He's the author of The Next 100 Million, America in 2050, which is talking about the demographic trends that he sees coming into play between now and the middle of the century, and as our population grows towards 400 million. And he is part of an organization called the Praxis Group, which he's a partner, that did quite a bit of work in North Dakota. North Dakota was a state in great decline and was really failing as a state. It was in a long-term population decline, small communities dropping off the table left and right across their state, an economy that was faltering. And they went in and drove a process that was driven by the very two questions that we are asking in our survey. Why do you live here mm-hmm. and why would you leave? Not why would you come here, why do you live here? It was focused on the people of North Dakota, and it was targeting the process to try and identify the strengths that North Dakota had to build upon, and the weaknesses and challenges that existed that needed to either be addressed or at least recognized in the process as something that you're, you know, like, for example, we're dark a good chunk of the year. What would we do about that?
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, we can't tilt the Earth's axis. We can't reverse the seasons. So we're going to have to embrace that, and we're going to have to move forward. The process that was used in North Dakota made a phenomenal change in that state before the oil boom. Now, I want to make that point very clear, because we all recognize that North Dakota is going through a huge boom right now.
Right.
But that state had started a significant turnaround based on the fact that they identified their strengths, agriculture, the university system that they had, and the ability to embark on R&D in an aggressive way and to focus their resources on R&D for agriculture, which made them a major biotech center. Agricultural equipment, some of the other, and a whole, you know, those were the core, but that was what drove it.
Yeah. And we're going to go to a break in just a moment, but Marie had a comment. Marie, can you make your comment quickly?
Yes, I'm retired now, but I when I worked occasionally would bike to work and even walk to and from work. I live in East Anchorage and I worked in Midtown. Recently, I was headed south on Denali Street and turning to go into, I think it's 32nd Avenue, but I'm not sure, to Walmart. And a biker who was on the sidewalk, I missed him. He was just whizzing along, and I said, and he said, didn't you see the walk sign for me? I said, were you walking?
Right.
The sidewalk on Denali is not a bike trail. He should have been in the street and following with traffic.
A lot of transportation issues. Yeah. Well,
it's
I think a wide,
smooth sidewalk with very few pedestrians, so it's a super highway for bikes. But this is how accidents happen. He also had his iPod with earbuds in his ear, and I said, you know, I ride too, and that's illegal. He said, no, it's not.
Okay. Well,
and,
you know what, Marie, we need to move on.
Getting arrogant is my point, and they need to observe the rules of the road. DeBar Road, Benson.
Got you. Marie, you're off the topic, so we're going to move on. We're going to go to a break and give out the phone numbers for folks who want to get involved in our show today, which is talking about what you particularly love about Anchorage or what you'd like to change. What are our best qualities? We'll be back in just a minute here on Hometown Alaska.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. A copy of Hometown Alaska will be available this afternoon on our website at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. Our topic today is the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation's Live, Work, and Play initiative. They are trying to make Anchorage the best city to live, work, and play by 2025. Big, big goal. The part that we're trying to help them with is figuring out what that would mean. What are the qualities that we would want to enhance in order to make that goal? And we've invited listeners to get involved, and we've been getting a lot of them, and we hope to get more. We've got another 30 minutes to talk about this. If you're within the Anchorage area, the number here is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. That's 888-353-5752. And we also take messages at hometownalaska at kska.org. We read them on the air when I get those messages here in the studio. You know, if you go to the KSKA website at kska.org, you can also find the survey that the Anchorage Economic Development Corp has put out, and you can put your comments straight into their process. But first, why not call and let us know what you think? Well, right now I'd like to go to Kathy, who is calling from Chugiak. Kathy, what was your comment?
I had a couple of comments. I'll try and keep them short. One is libraries. I see our libraries trying to come into the 21st century and adding computers, job search services, a lot of things that adults use. I kind of see a certain attitude in the Anchorage area that libraries are for children, and I'd like to see us get over that. I guess libraries have always been a huge part of my life, and I'm a little bit more than a child. The second thing, which is a little related, is walking. As fuel prices go up and up, it would be great if we could walk to more places. And part of that would then have to do with mass transit. For example, right now, if I want to go into Anchorage for an hour or two, or even into Eagle River for an hour or two, I can take the bus in the morning, and I could take the bus out in the afternoon, but I can't go in and out in the morning. So if I wanted to go to downtown and walk around and shop, that's not really an option unless I drive. So, you know, different things. If I want to go to the library, I can get there, but I can't get back unless I want to bike 12 miles.
Right.
So those
right.
are my different thoughts on what could make Anchorage a better city, get the mass transit more in order, make things more in walking distance as fuel prices go up, and also help the libraries get into the 21st century. The funding's been cut a lot with the libraries, mm-hmm. and it needs to be going in exactly the opposite direction if we want to be looking at the future.
Great. Good comments. Let me get back to Bill for a quick response, and we'll get to some more callers.
Well, actually, I have a question for the caller. I'd like to – those are great comments on some things that we need to improve, but I'd love to drive this to the two questions that we're asking. And I'd love to if you could share with us, why do you live here? Why do you live in Anchorage? And then is there – why would you leave?
Well, why I live in Anchorage – truthfully, it's probably more about what's outside of Anchorage. We love the wildlife. We love the camping and the hiking and the biking and things of that sort. You can kind of probably figure that out from my walking comments, you know, being active. So that's a reason we're here, but we have to drive to do it. And then what was the other? Why would I leave?
Why would you leave Anchorage?
The reason that we've been looking at is because we would want to live in a community that was more like a community. We're so road-based. People don't even know their neighbors. We don't even have sidewalks out where I am, so you have to walk on the street or bike on the street to get anywhere. So when we look to move other places, we look for a place where we can live with neighbors who walk and talk and communicate with each other. They don't just drive into their garage and shut the door.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, and so many of these seem to relate to transportation and the built environment. Thanks, Kathy. We're going to go to another caller. This is Bill with calling from Anchorage.
Hello. First of all, this is a great undertaking. And secondly, I don't wish to sound negative, but I don't think anybody's going to bring a business or want to come to a city that has a very uncertain future as far as where it's going to get its energy from. And I just find it astounding that we have a mayor on TV talking about, well, when we run out of gas, just use your microwave. And we have our municipal light and power fighting tooth and nail against alternative energy. And unless we embrace alternative energy and can guarantee that there will be many different sources of it, I don't know why a business would bring a person, an entity, a company would relocate to Anchorage when their future of energy is uncertain at best.
Thanks, Bill. That's an interesting comment. Let me turn to Mike Prozoralek, who's working with the committee. Is that the sort of thing that you would be able to integrate into this process, or are we talking more about the things that will, you know, the personal things? Or tell me how that'll work, how that'll fit in.
No, actually, that is one of the things that a significant thing that we're looking at during the strategic planning meeting. In addition to coming up with the new vision statement, we also came up with five goals for AEDC. And one of the goals that plays right into what the caller was asking is that AEDC will help diversify the Anchorage economy to be less dependent on oil, gas, and government spending. So we're looking for ways to bring in alternative energy. We will also provide and promote affordable long-term energy supplies. So, you know, that is part of exactly part of what the committees are going to be doing.
Yeah, it's a very universal sort of image or concept you're looking at here. Jamila from Eagle River, did you have a comment? Oh, I think we lost her. Well, in that case, let's go to Eric calling from Anchorage. Eric?
Yes, I'm actually, I was born here in Anchorage, and I really enjoy the opportunity. I believe that there also has to be some police accountability. Apparently, there's been a lot of issues with the police and the justice or the level of justice. And I believe that, you know, in order for businesses to thrive here, that there should be some accountability by the police and the court system in order to, you know, deal with changing issues like the economy, the ability to achieve justice. And I think that, you know, unless the police department becomes accountable for its actions, that, you know, it's apparently going to be an issue in the long term.
Okay. Well, thanks, Eric. I guess I would take that one to talk to my guests, Bill Pop and Mike Prozoralek from the Anchorage Economic Development Corp. Bill, is part of this process to look at our weaknesses? And we do have, you know, this morning there was an article in the paper about how our Alaskan statistics on sexually transmitted diseases are near the top of the charts, and a lot of the statistics we really would not like to be tops on. We do seem to have. And is that solving those problems? Is that too big, or is that going to be on your list as well for 2025?
If the narratives that are generated by the subcommittees say that that's one of the things that we need to start working with our partner organizations, our community stakeholders, to see what we can do to help them achieve meaningful change in that particular metric, mm-hmm. then that is something we will definitely focus some of our efforts on. You know, again, there are no bad answers at this point in the process in terms of the two questions that we are asking. Why do you live here? Why would you leave? They're all good answers. You know, and they can be a sentence, they can be a novella. I mean, they can be as long as they would like, and it can cover any and all topics that are important to the respondent. You know, we find that we are getting a wide variety of answers. A lot of them are only two or three sentence answers to each of the questions, but then we get some very long, in-depth answers, and this is all great stuff. You know, again, we're a staff of six. We have certain strengths, and we have certain abilities to perform certain actions and deeds that will make a contribution to achieving this aspiration that we've thrown out there. But we also clearly recognize that we're going to have to leverage our strengths with the strengths of others on any number of topics, on any number of issues. And the starting point, though, is to find out what it is that the community thinks we can be in 15 years.
Yeah. Well, when you work with companies that are thinking about locating here, mm-hmm. I'm sure there are facts that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, one that would seem obvious is the educational system, mm-hmm. because we've got a good public school system in Anchorage. And from the point of view of an employee, I guess if you don't have to pay for private school, as mm-hmm. you do in a lot of the country, you're right off the top, you're doing better. Mm-hmm. What are the factors that you see businesses asking about? You know, the things that would make them, not just the practical things about land costs or taxes, but the things that would make, that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. You've named several of them. You can go down a list that can be, you know, literally hundreds of factors. Cost of housing, availability of housing, cost of living compared to other communities that they already are doing business in. The availability of a skilled or semi-skilled workforce, depending on the type of business that they are. The transportation infrastructure that's available. The issues surrounding culture in the community. Is that, you know, we're being asked, you know, what is your diversity in your community in terms of ethnicity? What is your diversity in terms of culture and you know, in the arts scene? they do ask those questions. They want to come here and they want to see it. They want to understand what kind of community they're getting ready to enter into to do business. You know, our organization doesn't focus on retail, as an example. That happens whether we want it to or not. We do provide support to national retail firms that are interested in coming into Anchorage, but we don't go out and chase them. We're focused on the new businesses that are going to further diversify the economy of Anchorage while strengthening the existing economic base that we already have. So our focus is more on those direct issues, you know, that we're going to be going out and taking meaningful action on. But that does not mean that we are going to thereby ignore all of those other things that we aren't necessarily good at as a staff. There are many great organizations in this community that are doing a phenomenal job of making meaningful change to our community. Mm-hmm. And I have zero interest in going out and duplicating what they are doing.
You're not trying to do everything. You're just trying to take the big picture.
No, right. But you know what? If there is something that we can do as a business organization and bring the strengths of our members to play to help solve an issue or support a change on an issue or an effort or a project, and it fits within this overall narrative, I believe you're going to see us there ready, standing, and willing to help.
Right. Well, it's been an interesting show, but we still have a little time left. I want to make sure to one last chance to get out the phone number for those who want to participate. We're talking to Bill Popp and Mike Prozoralek from the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation about the Live, Work, and Play initiative that they're working on, defining what are the great qualities of Anchorage and how could we make it the best city for those qualities in the entire country within the next 15 years. You can learn more about it at their website and take a survey, which is linked through our website at kska.org. And you can call to participate in the conversation at 550-8433. That's 550-8433. And by email at hometownalaska@ksk.org, and we have a few emails to read. This caller says, to attract employers and businesses, we need to emphasize education in a consistent way. Employers need well-educated workers and want good schools and colleges for their own families. The schools and universities need to be supported as a community priority. They should be funded consistently and generously to rise to be outstanding institutions. Perhaps an educational endowment set up by the state could help with this. Well, we talked about that a little bit, and that is something that employers look at. Mike, how will you measure that? I mean, when you get to 2025 and you want to know, are we the best, do you have a feel for how you would measure if education is a top goal that we met it? Bill, Mike, who wants to take that one?
Go ahead, Bill.
All right.
So that's the second part of this process. We are aspiring, you know, we need to get the aspirational vision of the city down on paper and come up with that narrative that describes what it is that we think as a community we want to be in 2025. With that in hand, then the three subcommittees are going to be looking to identify quantitative metrics. This is a real challenge because, you know, qualitative and quantitative are important, but quantitative, quite honestly, are more consistent and less subject to editorializing.
So with education, you could look at test scores and some of those kinds of factors.
It could be any number of metrics that we can benchmark nationally for cities between 250 and, say, 750,000 is a range. That's still subject to, you know, to definition. But the committees will be facilitating this through some help with one of the statewide economic research firms that's agreed to give us some help pro bono to identify available national metrics once we have that narrative down so that we can put those metrics up against the narrative and start to measure progress towards achieving that goal. Mm-hmm. And we'll benchmark them nationally in September. And then take that forward and start to, you know, say, okay, where are we strong? Where do we need to work on it more? What do we need to make sure we're protecting and guarding, you know, and start to come up with
look at the trend line,
a trend line, but also start to work out strategies that we can take on as an organization and that we can engage others to have a discussion about how we can all work together even better to move the needle on some of those indicators.
Exciting process. Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring Michael on the air now from Anchorage. Michael, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, I was brought up here in the military in 1982, and I've been here, ever since. I mean, we did leave for a couple of years, but during that time, there were so many changes I've seen within the Anchorage Bowl area, even outside Anchorage. I know that they have I believe it's a dental school on Tudor now, as far as education is concerned. The library has had some improvements, although we're not top of the line, but we are, have made improvements, from that time till now. The South Anchorage is an area that we live in, and there are trails that we can walk, or run, ride our bike or whatever, so there are so many improvements. I mean, there's just a plethora, even to include the, what they call these roundabouts here, in Anchorage, to maybe lessen the use of the lights or as many lights needed. Within the Anchorage area, like I said, I did come up, by way of the military, and I just love Alaska. I've been, as far south as, say, Homer, as far north as Barrow, Alaska. I've been out to the villages and, mm-hmm. Out in the Shungnak and Ambler and all those different places, out of Kotzebue. So, I've traveled in, throughout Alaska as a whole, and just seen, so many improvements. But there, I thought about as far as what keeps me here is, like general, the hunting, the fishing, mm-hmm. the outdoor activities. Somebody earlier mentioned the weather, so we have skiing. I mean, world-class skiing. You can't get that any place else,
This call is making me feel good, Michael. I like it. Mike Perzorelek wants to make a comment in response.
Hi, Michael.
Oh, okay.
I got a question for you. Are you retired military now?
Yes, I am.
So why do you live here?
Why do I live here?
Yes.
There's no. I live here for the employment opportunities that are here. I live here because of the the vast different cultures and nationalities that are here in Anchorage, because I'm originally from New York. So I'm very used to the multicultural, environment, and that's here in Alaska. I mean, there are, you're going to have some sticklers wherever you go, but that's just, just being on this earth, But I just love the outdoor activities. Also, I think in this state alone, as far as being a a retired veteran, there are so many opportunities just in that alone. Just being a military vet with a disability, Anchorage, Alaska offers quite a bit to the military veterans that are here.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your call, Mike. We're gonna move on, but I appreciate those comments. That was a good call. Helen, did you have something on the same topic? Or
hi, Charles. This is Helen Niemann.
Oh, hi, Helen. Thanks for calling.
Well, I agree with many of the former callers. I haven't heard all of your program, but I came to Alaska because of Alaska, and I came to Anchorage because I needed a job, and it was the best place in Alaska, because it was in Alaska, and I needed a job. So it was the best place to come, and I think that old saying, come to Anchorage because it's so close to Alaska, we might not like that, but it is really very true for some of us. And Chugach State Park immediately feels different than, I think, I stay here in Anchorage now partly because of the trails and the easy opportunities for outdoor exercise, but Chugach State Park really gives me more of a feeling of being in Alaska. Of course, now I stay here. I'm retired, but I stay here because it's my community where I've put a lot of myself, and because my kids are here and because it's so close to Alaska.
Yeah, a lot of the same themes about the outdoors and the closeness to the outdoors and then abilities to get outdoors while in town and how, as they say, that old thing about you. Anchorage is in Alaska, but you can see it from here. I've never really agreed with that, but there's a little bit of truth to it in that you can, even when you're in a traffic jam, you can look up at the mountains and be up there pretty rapidly. So there's some emails here. I want to make sure we get in as many as possible before we're out of time. This emailer moved to Alaska in 1994 after a visit, didn't come with a job, but came because of the outdoors, different from some of the other folks we've had. The access to outdoor recreation and a lively arts community are some of the reasons I like living here. One thing I would improve would be to make use of the Alaska Railroad for transportation. We have a depot at the airport, but people can't fly in and hop on a train to go downtown or to Alyeska. We should work with the railroad to get people around town, add some stops in Midtown and so forth. And she talks about visitors and locals what might like to go down to Girdwood for weekend skiing and that sort of thing. And again, a transportation one, a lot of thoughts about transportation. I kind of wonder if some of these transportation issues are because we sort of think of roads and sidewalks as being our shared space. So we kind of think of that as being the town as opposed to our homes, which we think of not as being the town, but as being our homes. And Mike, are you seeing some of these same trends in the responses you're hearing that we're hearing today on the radio in your process?
Yes, we are. I mean, as Bill said, we've probably got 300-400 responses now, and there's a lot of common theme running through all of them.
Mm-hmm. And here's one more. We're almost out of time. This is a caller who is came from Seattle, related with UPS. The satisfaction and salary derived from being a big fish in a small pond is not to be sneezed at. That's true. You can get in, I mean, putting in a positive sense, you can be involved in Anchorage. You can run for the assembly. You can do a lot that you couldn't do in a bigger city. This happy circumstance surrounds countless others, but we think it is a major reason, not only for staying in Anchorage, but for enjoying it. No outdoor life necessary, in her opinion. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here. Bill, how can folks get more involved in this process if they like what they heard and they want to do more?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do that. First of all, take the survey, survey.anchorageliveworkplay.com. Or link it through the KSKA website.
KSKA.org.
KSKA.org. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to our AEDC website, which is AEDCweb, all one word, AEDCweb.com. And take the survey. That's the one thing that we really need everybody to do. Very important. We need your input. Why do you live here?
Can folks
Why
get
would
on
you
the
leave?
Committees if they're super interested? Is that a possibility?
If they're super interested, you know, the committees are already formed in terms of the formal membership, but there is most definitely an opportunity to be engaged with the committees. Committees are going to be looking for input from a lot of people.
Great. Well, this has been a fun topic. The hour went by very quickly, and we could probably do shows on this topic weekly. I want to thank my guests, Bill Popp, who is the president and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and Mike Przuralek, who is the chairman of the Work, Live, Play Committee and is an architect with KPB Architects here in town. My name is Charles Wolforth. I've been your host. I'll be back again next week with another show. Kristen Spack was in the booth doing a great job of our engineering, as she always does, and Pat Yak is in charge of news and public affairs here at KSKA. Thanks for listening. Be back with you next week on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music for Hometown Alaska is Lead Dog, composed and performed by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Views expressed on Hometown Alaska are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available on our website at kska.org, and CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.